Hoe geef je richting aan verandering? Hoe maak je impact met visie, leiderschap en innovatie? Je hoort het op het podcastkanaal New Business Radio. Listen today, lead tomorrow. Hier vind je al onze programma's voor business shapers. Met gesprekken met leiders, ondernemers en vernieuwers die hun organisatie klaarmaken voor de volgende sprong. Check je favoriete podcastplatform en abonneer je op New Business Radio. Listen today, lead tomorrow.
People Power.
How do you manage change in organizations, between organizations and within society? The majority of change programs do not succeed because of a lack of depth and empathy. This is the vision of Otto Scharmer, professor at MIT and founder of TheoryU, a philosophy and methodology for change.
In most systems today, we collectively create results that nobody wants, right? We destroy the earth. We have polarization in our societies. We have increasing level of, depression and anxiety. So those are things those are symptoms that speak to an old way of operating of our larger social field, and how to begin to see that together and to change it. That requires a social methodology, and that's kind of what I'm working on.
People Power host Pieter Jan de Bree spoke with Otto Scharmer after his talk at the School of Life in Amsterdam.
Saturday evening. I am waiting in a long line of people who also want something from Otto Scharmer, varying from the desire to give a handshake, a compliment, or receiving an autograph. And I only want an interview. Laurens Knoop, founder of the School of Life in the Netherlands, and together with the Eona Foundation, organizer of this special event, asked me to stay close so he can introduce me when the time is right. Time is ticking, but eventually I get the opportunity to interview Otto in between the two events that are laid out for him that day. Nice, thanks. I feel grateful, but excited as well. Will I manage to interview him while we're walking? How much time do I have, and which questions can I ask him in this time frame? But before I get stuck in my own thoughts, we're standing outside and I have to push the record button and the interview starts. After getting used to the fact that we have to walk and hold a microphone, watch where we are walking, avoiding people on bikes and in trams, we get more and more attuned. About his work, the importance of intention, what TheoryU is and when to use it, which skills we need to maintain and to develop, the Social Transformation Lab, Rudolf Steiner, the overlap with design thinking, the importance of storytelling, and much more. Happy listening and feel free to share.
Hi, Otto. Hi. Welcome. Can you tell to our listeners who you are, what you do, and why you spoke today?
I'm an action researcher working at MIT and trying to develop methods and tools that help individuals and groups to clarify their intention and to make it happen.
To make happen what?
To make the intention happen.
The intention of a group, of a
future that's different to the past, right? So of whatever kind of the changes that you try to bring about.
And it's called TheoryU. Is it a method? Is it a theory, or is it an approach? What is it?
It's all three. So it's basically awareness-based systems change. So it's basically affecting change in your environment by shifting the inner place from that you operate. So that's the core of it. So a lot has to do with clarifying your attention and intention. A lot has to do with listening. A lot has to do with creating collective holding spaces where, as a group, we can connect to the deeper sources of our creativity.
So if you want one thing to remember, so if people listen and have been here tonight, what do you want them to remember?
What I want them to remember is that we have increasing level of depression and anxiety. So those are things those are symptoms that speak to an old way of operating of our larger social field, and how to begin to see that together and to change it. That's that requires a social methodology, and that's kind of what I'm working on.
Wow. And what is the most common used argument do not work with your methodology?
I don't know. I mean, I only work with the people that do work.
They do, yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's, you could say, I mean, I can imagine a few good arguments. One is it's a lot of work, right? So and I'm not saying that whatever the problem is, use this method. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that if you deal with a situation of disruption, then you need to a method that puts you not only on an outer journey, but also on an inner journey, because kind of the knowing of the future is in part what we find outside of ourselves, and in part it's something that we can find within ourselves. But for that, we need to deepen our listening, and that's why this new methodology is required.
So if you look at what skills do we need to develop?
Well, I mean, one is that we already talked about is listening. Then I would say not only listening, but deep listening, right? So listening with your mind and heart wide open. Mm-hmm. Then there is a skill that is that we develop collective holding spaces so that we can hold a group in a way that the listening is not only happening from one individual to another, but really on the level of the collective. And there is another skill that really is connecting what we experience individually in our life and in our work and with the larger systems, right? With the deeper levels of the systems, because you know, all systems thinking is something very simple, which is you make a distinction between symptoms and root issues or root causes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we experience the symptoms, but what are the deeper root issues, the deeper root causes from a point of view that not only looks at the problem as something that resides outside of yourself, mm-hmm. but also in part has to do with your own behavior, right? And with your own inner place from that you operate.
Yep.
So that's like a deeper reflective sense-making skill, right? And systems thinking skill, which is key. Then we need prototyping skills, right? To explore new ideas by doing, by running small-scale experiments. And then we need a skill that allows us to build global movements, local to global movements, right? By connecting many place-based communities in a way that makes them aware of the larger movement that they are actually part of. So I believe we have an emerging global movement in the making, but that movement is not aware of itself. And that's what's slowing it down.
And that's why you're presenting the and we're asking to people to apply to your new initiative.
Yes. So it's so we are launching something that's called Societal Transformation Lab, or SLAB, and that is in fact designed to help that emerging movement to become aware of itself. And also it's designed to help individual teams, local teams, to move their prototyping intention from idea to action. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a strange question. Have you, because I see the relationship and your with the Rudolf Steiner, have you been on the Rudolf Steiner school yourself?
Yes, I have. And that has clearly influenced my own thinking. So you see that in many of the methodologies that I develop, make a heavy use of art, but not art theory, but art practices. So that's one. And then basically a holistic image of the human being that also is aware of kind of different levels of consciousness that we can operate from. And also the view of nature as a living system, right, that has its own awareness. And it's not just kind of a resource for us to use and throw away, but it's actually something we are co-evolving with. So that, and you can even say the whole, I mean, when you look at the essence of TOU, for example, when I teach that in China, I make a lot of use of Buddhism, Confucianism, and Taoism, right? So because of that's the essence of it, right? So when you do it in an Islamic country, kind of you can link it with the essence of Sufism.
Right? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And so on and so forth. So, but here in the West, I would say it's really... So the concept of the open mind, open heart, open will really is, everyone talks about open mind, open heart, but it was Steiner in his own psychology and psychological teaching who talks also about the will quite a bit, right? So that's where you can see like footprints, you know, of Steiner, but also of other traditions in theory. And I always try to make the essence of these concepts accessible to practitioners today, right? So basically, I'm less interested in the overlay, the belief system that any of these traditions comes with, but more interested really in science, which is, at the end of the day, what is the essence of science? Is let the data talk to you, right? Don't impose your own. Let the data talk to you. And that means, in my case, I want the experience that people have in social change be talking to them. I want people to be aware more of the deeper levels of that experience and to pay attention to that and to listen to that, because I believe when we do that, that is actually gives us access to sources of collective creativity that, if used, can address many of the core challenges that we face as a community.
Thank you very much. The last question for our younger listeners is basically: you in your book you describe the fact that you want that it's good to reduce the screen time.
Yeah.
You make a distinction between this. Why is it so important to have less screen time?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether I just said that. I think it's a little bit more complicated. So let me give two answers. So one is the old and the new digital divide, right? The old digital divide is people, kids of poor, socially disadvantaged families having no access to the internet. The new digital divide is the opposite, right?
Everybody.
Which is kids having too much access, unrestricted access. While more privileged children have parents who understand that unrestricted access to screen is actually a very bad thing for developing your own creative capacities. So that's, I think that distinction between the old and the new digital divide is just interesting. And kind of the example is that the New York Times gives in a recent article is the Waldorf School in Silicon Valley, right?
Exactly.
Which is where tech executives put their children, and even Steve Jobs, didn't give the iPad to his own kids, right?
No,
so for a long time. So that you can see it there. But what I really mean is not like how many hours screen time. What I mean is, for me, there is a distinction. So I'm when I use the screen to create, to write, or in a creative process, it's less a problem. When I use the screen for something that puts me into a passive consuming situation, that's a problem, because it is like a noise level that easily distracts me from the boredom, which is the source of starting, maybe when we are lucky, a real creative process.
Thank you very much. The last question is, because I see some similarities between design thinking and the U theory. How come?
Because some of my colleagues have been design thinkers. I think, I have used colleagues from design thinking even before it was called design thinking. So for many years in my classes at MIT and in my programs, I have learned a lot from them. I would also say that, you know, with Theory U, we add something to it, which is kind of the whole level four, you could say, and the whole more social dimension, right? The awareness-based systems change, which is often implicit. So design thinking really starts with product innovation originally, and kind of these roots are clearly visible, right, in many of the practices. And in fact, you had like a debate, a clash in the design thinking community, how much actually to make explicit kind of from the deeper process, because what the official design thinking process is and what the real design thinker is doing, those are two different things. And so that's also an interesting detail, that there is like the formalized design thinking process, and that's what the most advanced on the one hand, and what the most advanced practitioners do on the other hand, which is a much more free process, right? So where these methods and tools are more a palette that you draw from, like, and you're more like an artist, really, kind of using that as tools, but not being restricted by it. And so that moves it more in the direction also of Theory U. So there's a big overlap, but also some differences. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you very much for your time in this interview.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's Otto Scharmer, professor at MIT and founder of Theory U. If you're interested in Theory U, you can, of course, buy Otto Scharmer's book, Theory U, or visit theoryu.com and check his TEDx talk. Just Google Otto Scharmer TED. Thank you for listening to the People Power Podcast.
People Power.